Welcome back, friends. When we first started this conversation of marriage, we talked about the four F's and a T. I don't know where I got the four F's of that, out of theology of the body or an Ed Shree or somebody. But anyway, I picked that up somewhere along the lines. And then the T, tithing. But I'm in the process of a study, actually, on tithing. But I don't want to limit it because that is a very charged word. Let's use how I've been encountering the term generosity. Mm-hmm. That would be every, you know, that is an aspect. With Ann and Joachim, he gave a third to the temple. He gave a third to the widows and orphans and the poor, and he kept a third of himself. Mm-hmm. So, of course, he's not tithing.
he's beyond tithing.
We're in a different category. Yep. And, and of course, they were, of course, the parents of Our Lady. So how has that aspect of giving enriched or tracked with your marriage life, if you will?
I'll let you start, Julie.
Okay. Sure. I was going to say, out of God's goodness and our ignorance, we had hit rock bottom so bad that we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we both looked up at the same time. Many don't get to that same point at the same time, but it was so devastating and so just heart-wrenching that we had gotten to that point that we literally had to say, okay, God, we are done trying it our own way. We ask you to come into our lives and show us how you want us to do this thing called marriage. And if you deliver us from this evil, a short deliverance prayer, which I didn't recognize till much later, we will commit the rest of our lives in working in some kind of marriage or family ministry. Well, with that being said, by the grace of God, we started to get rid of all the things that kept us from doing just him, focused on him and our marriage and our two children at the time. And literally we began to quit our job. We sold everything in our house. We started to do all these things and there wasn't a concern or a worry. That's when we knew it was God's grace, because it was this freedom. Everything that went was like a freedom. Everything that left our house was like another, oh my gosh, we're lighter. All of that to say that 24 years ago, we began the Alexander House Apostolate, which is dedicated to help marriage and families, having hope and healing in marriage and family, starting with marriages. That's all we worked with for so long. And now it's expanding beyond that. But it was just so amazing that now, 23 years later, praying and asking God to come and give us a place, a way to have people come so we can help them and teach them and all these things, out of generosity of people like Karen and Ted and all of our donors. Literally, we have survived for 24 years after the generosity of other people, all to the point where we do not charge couples for anything that they come to. No family pays for anything and any services that we offer, because we were not charged. We were not asked to give money. God saved our marriage for free. And it was the point when it was my grandmother's 104th year of life where we were going, we were flying to her funeral mass, and we were done. We were finished. We didn't get a whole lot of support from the church, not a whole lot of, our donations were dwindling, and I was done. I was tired. We've done this all, and you know, what's the point? And so I opened up scripture, and sure enough, I did say, heal the sick, cleanse the dead, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Greg, look at this. Look at this is what we're doing for marriage. Look at this. And he's reading it. He's going, wow. He said, read the next line. I'm like, no, why? I just want to focus on this part. And he said, read the next line. And I said, okay. And he said, without cost you were given, and without cost you will give. He said, we are no longer charging any money for anything we do. And I was like, okay. And after that, it's like everything turned around. Donations started coming in, and to the point where now a year ago, we acquired 10.5 acres to transform this place that already had all the buildings. None of it makes sense other than God has just been like, this needs to happen. Why? Because we have to do what you said earlier, Sarah. Build community, bring people back. If nothing, just to sit and listen to them, tell their story. And right then, right there is where people are being transformed in front of our eyes, because they're starting to realize that each person needs relationship. Each person needs to know who God is by somebody else listening to them and assisting them in their walk. That's what discipleship is. And so we're seeing all of this, all because of the generosity of others. We can't help but be generous because we have been given so much that we have to give everything that we have and everything that God has taught us, because it's not ours, it's His. And so to be a steward of this place, of people's souls, in a sense, not that they're ours, but they're ours to take care of and send them on their way. And oh my gosh, it's transformed our marriage, because before it was about, they're passing a basket at church, this is ridiculous, I'll just tell you the honest to God truth, this is who I was. They're going to ask me for money, they should be paying me to sit here. Oh my gosh, that's horrible. But that's what I thought. And now I'm like, whatever I can give, Lord, whatever I can give, because He's given me everything. But now, great, thanks, Karen, for saying a third, a third, and a third. I'm like, oh my God.
I know,
I'm like,
la, 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 la.
It's a blessing.
Well, I mean, if we can get there, you know, if you can
oh
get
my
there,
gosh.
It's an aspiration, not a destination.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, for us, you know, I obviously, you know, our first year of marriage, when Greg and I were dating, I went on a number of there are big conferences in the late 1980s and 90s, big charismatic renewals across the country. And mm-hmm. I really felt called to do a year of volunteer work for the church. And it's funny because I always tell Karen, you know, I think that I've discerned God's will. And I thought that I was going to be a rah-rah cheerleader for Jesus. And I was going to go and convert the entire nation through the national evangelization teams. And Greg said, well, no, we need to do this together. So we had to find a place that would accept us as a married couple. And so we ended up in the inner city of Indianapolis. And here's me thinking that I'm going to be like this cheerleader for Jesus, and I'm just going to convert all the youth. And I ended up at a parish of really, I mean, it was really a dying parish. I think that there were 11 kids between the ages of 0 and 18. So, I mean, so what I thought I was going to do, you know, it's never what I think that I'm going to do. But I think that the impulse to generosity is there. Even though I have no idea what it is that our Lord is calling me to. And that first year of marriage where we were, you know, living in a half of a renovated convent and, you know, doing whatever little thing that we thought that we could be doing for God. There's no way that has not paid long-term dividends in my marriage.
Wow.
You know, it was such a foundation to build on. And I didn't even know that we were building on anything. It just seemed like something it seemed an appropriate act to do, to just be willing to give of the first fruits. And, you know, I don't know that we've ever been able to give so concretely like that ever again. I always say that I've always wanted to fight my laziness. And so God instituted a 2-year production plan for me, that every 2 years I'd have a new project that I was working on. Now that forced productivity is not coming so hot and heavy, as it were, you know, I am once again falling back into, you know, where are you calling me now, right? How do we best bring the gifts that you've given us into the world, you know, because all of us, in some way, even if it's through our failings, you know, even if it's the hard lessons that we've been taught, that we have to share that. You know, our Lord wants us to be able to be at His disposal all the time. And I think that's the easiest way to be generous, is to simply be willing to be at His disposal. I've always said to Him, Lord, I'm willing to be a conduit for all of your money. Just lay it on me, Lord, and I will just dispense it to everyone. And He's never taken me up on that.
Hold that thought. We will continue in the next episode. Till then, my friends, fides and ratio.